Before radio, television, and the internet, this is how most people got their headlines. We're in the press room of the Birmingham News. Press manager David Ellis takes us around as tomorrow's issue goes by on rollers. The first thing you notice is the smell. It's the red, black, yellow, and blue ink. Ellis says he doesn't notice it, usually.
If I've been on vacation and I come back in here, I was like, oh yeah, I'm home again. Because you're right, it just has a distinct smell to it.
The edition you hear on the presses now will wind up on doorsteps in a few hours. Back in 1864, the earliest news on the Battle of Mobile Bay took 6 days to get out.
The Daily Ohio Statesman, August 17, 1864. We have our first installment of the glorious news from Admiral Farragut's Victoria Squadron. The reports furnished are full of the most intense interest, and this latest achievement of the old salamander will place him at the top of the list of all naval commanders of the world.
One source I read said that it was the naval equivalent of Pickett's charge at Gettysburg.
Dr. Deborah Van Tool teaches history at Georgia Regents University in Augusta.
That would say to me that writer thought that this was indeed a turning point.
Van Tool's specialty is Civil War journalism and how it worked. The Battle of Mobile Bay appears to have been hot news in 1864. Just how hot?
It ran on page one, which is sort of an innovation of newspapers in this period. Prior to the Civil War, page one was all advertising, usually, and news actually ran on page two. But during the war, people wanted news so quickly, newspaper editors realized that they needed to start putting news on the front page.
Chattanooga Rebel, August 26, 1864. The Yankees say Fort Morgan capitulated at 2 o'clock on Tuesday last. On Monday evening, they concentrated their fire on the fort, which replied sharply. On Tuesday, the bombardment was renewed.
Papers ranging from the New York Times to the Chattanooga Rebel sent reporters or collected eyewitness accounts on the battle between Admiral David Farragut of the Union and Admiral Franklin Buchanan of the Confederacy. This is where historians start to differ on the value of news accounts.
Newspapers are not necessarily the first place you'd go to find out exactly what happened.
That's Dr. Craig Simons. He taught for 30 years at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis. Simons also wrote over 30 books on American military history. His criticism focuses on how, in the 1860s, newspapers took sides.
So there were Republican newspapers and there were Democratic newspapers, and the Republican newspapers would generally say something like, "What a tremendous victory this is to substantiate our great president's war policy." And Democratic papers would say, "Well, yes, we won this one, but the costs were very heavy, and that proves the policy is not working, and we should throw this rascal out of office."
And that was just in the North, and the rascal Simons is talking about was Republican President Abraham Lincoln.
You did certainly have the majority of Northern papers who were yay Union, and the majority of Southern newspapers who were yay Confederacy.
That's Deborah Van Tool. She says Southern papers appeared even more critical of their president, Jefferson Davis.
Well, they used words like despot and even some nastier things to describe him. And in fact, the Augusta Chronicle and Sentinel made the comment once, if they had to have a despot ruling the country, they might as well just go back into the Union and have Abraham Lincoln.
Richmond Inquirer, August 15th, 1864. Fort Gaines has done the way of Hatteras, Roanoke Island, Pulaski, and Hilton Head. Its isolated position was exposed to the concentrated assault of the Yankee Navy. Perhaps the officer in command of the fort may have proven himself a traitor. In that case, eternal infamy awaits him.
One point all sides appear to agree on is the political value of the news reports of the Battle of Mobile Bay to Abraham Lincoln.
Lincoln knew he had to be reelected for his policy to be sustained.
Craig Simons.
And in August, when Farragut made his dash into the bay, it was not at all clear that he would be reelected.
At that point, Lincoln was very low in the polls, and it looked very much like McClellan was going to win.
Deborah Van Tool.
And the Battle of Mobile Bay and the capture of Atlanta turned Union opinion around and back favorable towards Lincoln, which is what helped Lincoln get reelected.
If there's one thing the news coverage didn't resolve, it's what Craig Simons says was the Holy Grail connected to the Battle of Mobile Bay. It's one of the famous sayings he used to hear around the campus during his teaching days at Annapolis.
Famous phrases like, "Don't give up the ship, we have met the enemy and they are ours," those kinds of things, and along with them is, "Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead."
As catchy as David Farragut's statement might have been, Simons contends a Navy man wouldn't have said it like that.
Another theory is that he simply said, "Go on, go ahead, four bells, but that doesn't have quite the dramatic ring of damn the torpedoes. So instead of saying full speed ahead, which a landlubber might say, he would have used the naval term four bells.
And apparently no newspaper account says who's right and who's wrong. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Tuscaloosa.